So today we honor St. Luke, the evangelist, the gospel writer, and his particular witness to Christ, his particular vision of who Christ is, and also his vision of the mission of the church, what we are about, what we are called to be doing in Jesus' name. And we get some wonderful hints about that in our gospel reading for today, and especially in those closing verses of St. Luke's gospel, where Luke gives us another version of the Great Commission. Most of us are familiar with the Great Commission that's found in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age." Inspiring words. And yet, the Great Commission that we have from the lips of Jesus in our gospel for today, equally inspiring and challenging. And here the emphasis is upon Jesus' death and resurrection and the message of that gospel of the crucified and risen Lord. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So the very heart and soul of the Christian gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He carried our sins on that cross so that we might be freed from sin, so that we might be empowered also to bring that same message of forgiveness to all the world. And that forgiveness is healing. That's why healing is so important in Luke's story of Jesus and of the early church. That forgiveness itself is healing. And that just as forgiveness of sin can only happen when we become aware of our sin and look to God to receive the forgiveness that he's only too willing to give, so in the same way, physical healing happens when we become aware of our need for healing. Quite a few years ago, when I was pastoring up in Harney, up the road in Harney, I developed a little sore on the side of my nose. It would bleed for a while, then it would stop, then it would come back and bleed some more. And I treated it several times, and it just never seemed to go away. And at first, I didn't think too much of it, but then I started to get this kind of little idea in the back of my head, you know, Charlie, something wrong here, you should go to the doctor. And eventually I did. My family doctor referred me to a dermatologist who took a biopsy, and sure enough, it was cancer. Fortunately, not the worst kind of skin cancer, but the doctor told me that if I hadn't done anything, that the cancer would have eaten the nose right off my face. I don't like to think about that. But thanks be to God, they were able to surgically remove the cancer and fix me up with a skin graft over on that side of my nose, and I was as good as new. But only because I saw that there was a problem and I reached out for help. That's why in Luke's gospel, the message that we are called to proclaim is not just forgiveness, but also repentance. That repentance and forgiveness of sin be proclaimed in his name to all nations. There was a man named Bill who many years ago founded an organization that has brought healing and hope to millions of people all across the world. He was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and from which have also sprung other recovery groups since then, including Narcotics Anonymous. And the very center of Alcoholics Anonymous are the 12 steps. And these 12 steps came right from the Bible, folks. It's actually the process of repentance that is spelled out. In other words, repentance is not just feeling a little bit sorry for what I've done and saying I'm sorry to God and receiving his forgiveness. Repentance is a process. and can be a difficult and painful one. And so here are the first several steps of repentance from the 12 steps of AA. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And so we, in our own confession of sin, say that we are powerless over sin. We cannot get rid of that power by ourselves. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So the second part of repentance is looking to the one who alone can heal and forgive. Number three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. So looking to God and then consciously turning our lives, our wills over to Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, facing the truth about our lives through confession, bringing all of the dirty laundry out in the open so that God can restore us. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, and we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Another part of repentance is saying, Lord, I'm ready. Do it. Change me. I'm ready to be changed. I'm ready to become more fully a child of yours. So this process of repentance is the very heart of the Christian proclamation. And it is also at the very heart of the process of healing. And this repentance, by the way, is not just something that happens once in our lives, the first time we become aware of our sin, the first time we turn to God and find in Christ the answer. But in fact, it is the whole lifestyle of the Christian. And this is something that we Lutherans are especially familiar with. Martin Luther, when he posted those 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, the very first of those 95 theses was this. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He willed the entire life of the believer to be one of repentance. Our whole lives are spent repenting and turning to God for healing and forgiveness. And in this small catechism, Luther taught the significance of baptism. It signifies that the old person in us, with all sins and evil desires, is to be drowned and put to death every day through daily sorrow for sin and through repentance. And that every day a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God forever in righteousness and purity. This is a process that happens every day. And by the way, this process of healing and transformation and forgiveness happens not just on the individual level, but also for the whole church. Martin Luther was calling the whole church in his day to repent, to get the life of the church back on track after it had veered away. But Luther believed he was calling the church not just to repent once, not just to reform once, but Luther taught that the churches must always be in the process of reformation. We as a congregation must always be dying to our old self as a church. Always being raised up by God to become a new church. Think of that. Emmanuel Lutheran Church, what, 256 years old? And yet, when we leave this morning, this congregation is a brand new baby congregation, just born today. Every time we gather together, we die to the old. God raises us up to a new life, as individuals, but also as a congregation. This is the good news. This is the hope that St. Luke offers to us. And as we come up to receive the laying on of hands and anointing, I invite each of you to spend a moment thinking about these two questions as you're waiting to come up. Number one is, what needs to die in me today so that I may live more fully in Christ. Bring that to the communion rail. And then the second question, what needs to die in us as a congregation so that we may live together more fully as the body of Christ and pursue Christ's mission to the world more effectively? What needs to die in me? What needs to die in us so that we can be raised up into that new life and experience the forgiveness and the healing power of Christ? Amen.